KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly cloudy sky, 27 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy today, a high of 48. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at Atlantic. Well, social media posts from residents in southwest Iowa in the recent weeks have been talking about odd encounters people have been having with persons involved in the possible sale of perfume. The events have reportedly taken place in Atlantic, Griswold, Stewart, and Minden. In one post on Facebook, a woman from Harlan said her girlfriend had recently stopped at the Casey store in Avoca after a late night at the office and was approached in the parking lot by two men and a woman. The woman reportedly asked the lady who was leaving the store what the perfume was she was wearing. She then asked to have her sample some perfume they were selling at a discount. The men had allegedly attempted to get behind the woman or possible victim. The unknown woman sprayed some perfume on her sleeve and attempted to get the other woman to smell it, but she refused. The report goes on to say one of the men came up from behind and got close to the woman before allegedly attempting to grab her. The potential victim pushed past the men and got in her car before leaving the scene. Atlantic Police Chief Steve Green says a local woman who happens to work in law enforcement came into contact with persons with a similar approach about 2 days after the alleged incident in Avoca.
Yes, we did have contact with what we believe are the same individuals in Atlantic. One of our dispatchers with the county was approached by these individuals, and things just didn't seem on the up and up, so she called, and we had an officer that identified them, and after the fact, we found out about this situation that occurred over in Boca, and they seem to be the same individuals.
An investigation involving numerous law enforcement agencies in the area is underway to determine who the individuals are and what their motive may be. The female and two males have been reported at times to be in a white truck and a white SUV.
They are using the scenario that they are looking at opening a store in the area, and all indications are that that is not true. And because of the report that came out of Pottawatomie County, we are feeling that these individuals should be avoided. And if a person is approached in a parking lot or something of that nature, especially after hours, that they simply walk away and leave and do not have any interaction with these individuals.
Green says right now the only thing they can cite those individuals for is soliciting without a permit in the city of Atlantic. He says the suspected trio haven't been seen in the area or reported since law enforcement made contact with them. Green says they may have moved on to areas where their activity has not been reported yet. A reminder today from Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Cannon, and that is that the weekly seasonal testing of Atlantic's outdoor warning sirens will resume today at noon, the tornado sirens, if you will. The sirens will also be activated next Wednesday morning at around 10:15 as part of the annual statewide tornado drill. Again, the first seasonal testing of the outdoor warning sirens in Atlantic will be today at noon. A report ranks the health of every one of Iowa's 99 counties, a new report that is, and it shows some dramatic differences between rural and urban counties. Katie Weir, spokeswoman for the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, says the annual county health rankings isn't a contest, but more of a tool or guidebook.
We collect a whole host of data, 30 factors in particular, to talk about how health is much more than what happens in the doctor's office, but it includes everything from public safety to education to poverty. And that all helps shape how well and how long we live.
The report shows rural counties have higher premature death rates compared to urban counties. Also, rural counties have higher rates of smoking, obesity, child poverty, and teen births, and higher numbers of uninsured adults than their urban counterparts. Large urban counties have lower smoking and obesity rates, fewer injury deaths, and more residents who attend college.
Through the website, countyhealthrankings.org, it enables communities to see the trends over time within their particular county, and also enables them to identify where they're doing particularly well and where there are additional areas for improvement. And it also gives them ability to understand how they're doing compared to their neighbors, so that they can continue to learn from their neighbors about what's working and what's not.
The report contains county-by-county breakdowns for all 50 states. Coincidentally, Iowa's highest and lowest-ranked counties are both on the western border and in close proximity to one another.
The healthiest county in Iowa is Sioux County, and the least healthy or the lowest ranked county is Monona. But what we recognize is that the rankings are a starting point, not an ending point, and it's not even a race to the top, because rankings vary every year depending on how well you are doing or not compared to your neighbor.
Dallas County in West Central Iowa placed third in the overall health outcomes category. In Southwest Iowa, Taylor County has the best ranking in the overall health incomes or outcomes category, coming in at number 19. Carroll County ranked 21st, Shelby County 28th. Adair County placed 39th in the ranking, while Audubon County was ranked 54th, Guthrie County 61st out of 99 counties. Further on down the list, in 81st place was Cass County, while Adams County ranked 83rd. The report includes a tools section that contains a database of approaches, personalized coaching, and a range of other resources to help communities in their efforts to improve health. A 30-year-old man described as severely mentally ill is in custody for the stabbing deaths of his mother and grandmother in the home they shared in Council Bluffs, as we told you yesterday on the news. Rhonda Schaus says her friend, Jackie Dykeman, had sought mental health care for her son for years.
This is not a woman who just didn't know how to access the services. Jackie knew every service the state offered inside and out, and the lack of services failed her.
Schaus testified Thursday before the Iowa Senate Government Oversight Committee.
I'm here today to implore you on behalf of Jackie and her son, who can't be here because they pay the ultimate price for Iowa's failure to provide services and a safety net.
Schaus, who is from Marion, is an advocate for expanding the availability of health care, mental health care services in Iowa, and that's how she met Jackie Dykeman. Michael Dykeman is being held on two counts of murder in the deaths of his 63-year-old mother and 91-year-old grandmother. Their bodies were found Wednesday. Jackie Dykeman had served on the Iowa Mental Health Planning and Advisory Council and was active in the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. Advocates like Schaus are telling legislators they're worried the three private companies that will start managing care for Medicaid patients will restrict or deny critical mental health care services as a way to make money. And the head of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Service was questioned before Congress this week about the death of an Iowa woman in a horrific car crash in Omaha. The January accident was allegedly caused by an undocumented immigrant who was released from jail and has since vanished. Nebraska U.S. Senator Ben Sasse questioned ICE Director Sarah Saldana, saying Omaha police asked ICE to hold the suspect, but ICE refused. Saldana denied that.
I don't understand where you got the information with respect to our refusing to deal with this individual. That's not my understanding of the facts.
This is ICE's public comment. ICE has said that in response to Omaha law enforcement, who said they requested that ICE detain him.
I am ICE, and I don't recall making that statement. I would not have said that.
The suspect, 19-year-old Eswin Mejia of Honduras, posted bond and hasn't been seen since. It's feared he fled the country to avoid prosecution as he was in the U.S. illegally. Police say Mejia was street racing while driving drunk and rear-ended the SUV, driven by 21-year-old Sarah Root of Council Bluffs, killing her. Senator Sasse told Saldana that Root's family and many others want to know why the feds wouldn't hold the suspect after he met bail, as he was clearly a flight risk.
This is my letter to you, February 29th. I'm quoting your agency's public statement. Your agency said in response, at the time of his January 2016 arrest in Omaha on local criminal charges, Eswin Mejia, 19, of Honduras, did not meet ICE's enforcement priorities.
Due to the suspect's immigration status, Omaha police requested ICE detain him, but that was denied as ICE said it would not be consistent with the president's executive actions. Saldana says it's unclear exactly what happened and she's investigating the case.
Quite frankly, sir, it's very easy to look back and say that person's judgment was incorrect, and I have some concerns about that. As I said earlier, every situation we have that results in something as horrific as this, we always try to learn from it. And I'll be following up to look at the specific individuals involved, how the judgment was formed, and why that was done.
The suspect is accused of motor vehicle homicide, but the judge set bond at $50,000, and Mejia was able to secure 10% of that and let go. Sasse said Omaha police moved as quickly as possible to have ICE take Mejia into custody. His blood alcohol level at the time of his arrest was three times the legal limit, and he was driving on a suspended license when he was racing and rear-ended Root's vehicle. Saldana testified before the Senate Homeland Security Committee. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.